Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, many times bad, and tell you why the bleep we play it. Today, we're taking a little bit of time to talk because Nintendo came out and they came out throwing not just haymakers, they came out for kill shots.
we're minus one for right now. Maybe Mason will join us later. I don't know how long we'll talk. But this wasn't planned.
This was not planned at all.
We heard Nintendo Direct announced, and it was like, cool, whatever. I was the only one awake when it started.
I had just woken up and had forgotten it was at 9 o'clock and got the text message of they've come out with Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, no, first thing they show, Nintendo, when we say they came out swinging, we mean they came out trying to take off motherfucking heads. Because the first thing they show was a new, for the Switch, gorgeous looking Mario and Luigi brothership.
And I expected a Mario Luigi game coming soon. We'd heard enough rumors around it. Nintendo was apparently sending out like questionnaires and asking people what they thought about their RPG line, you know, things like that. We'd gotten Mario RPG remake and a Paper Mario Return remake. Mm-hmm. So it's like Mario and Luigi's coming. I didn't expect it now, and I especially didn't expect them to lead the show with it.
I didn't expect a new game.
That's true.
I expected them to port like one of the newer ones, mm-hmm. if they were going to do anything with it.
That's true. It would not surprise me if they were, you know, going to do kind of like a Mario RPG remake of the first game type of thing like
that. Yeah, like remake Superstar Saga or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, they came out with a brand spanking new game, Mario & Luigi Brothership. Looks so fucking good.
It looks gorgeous. I love the Mario and Luigi franchise, even though I haven't played several of the previous indie, last couple games I didn't play.
I haven't either.
But I played the first three a lot.
Right.
So, like, it's a really fun, utilizing kind of the same mechanics they used in the original Mario RPG with some of the action RPG elements in turn-based.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I love the Mario and Luigi series as much as I do. Just that active combat timing, that's a staple of all the Mario games. But adding Luigi there, one, adds so much to the writing of the series, and two, adds that second button that you could do the bro moves and everything. There's the meme Mario and Luigi together conquer basically all of fiction for a reason.
Yeah, it just... Absolute excitement. Absolute peak excitement because we know this is kind of the time they bring out the E3, the old E3 timeline. We get the Summer Game Fest, which has games from all across all platforms. Sony does their thing. Xbox has their own thing. Nintendo has theirs. Sony came out with a wet fart, and Xbox came out with a very good show, even if a lot of their announcements were multi-platform.
Yeah.
And Nintendo came out and said, the throne is still ours, boys.
Nintendo cleaned house. Let's not beat around the bush.
Because, as I said, they started with that, and that is, in a lot of things, the best thing in the show. They weren't done. They followed it up with Nintendo World Championship NES Edition.
Yes, which I've never been, I'm not too big on these games, but the fact that they're getting new ones, mm-hmm. super sick. Are they new?
Kind of. It's one of those things that's like, it's a speedrunning challenge in sort of games. It's really fun, and it's cool that it's being released. So, like, and there's a pretty good-sized audience that people are going to like. You know, this is maybe not our forte, but it's definitely something that's like, oh, that's a kind of big, you're going number two, and this is what you're coming out with their second?
No, this requires to be skilled. We can't play it.
Anime fans rejoice. Fairy Tail 2 getting a game on the Switch that is going to finish the end of the Fairy Tail anime as well as do a new story at the end of it. Yeah. And I was like, okay, as one who has a very interesting relationship with the Fairy Tail anime in that I get bored by it but also love it.
I have not watched Fairy Tail. I'm a One Piece fan, and a lot of people call it rip-off One Piece, but that actually makes me more interested,
yeah.
If that makes any sense. It's like, oh, it's ripping off One Piece. I'm like, oh, so it's ripping off something good. Okay, then I want to see it, because I want to see if it does it good. And I've heard several things. I've heard some people say it's trash. I've heard some people say it's actually really underrated. I'm curious, but it's also one of those things where it's like,
It's definitely not the best fighting anime. It's kind of repetitive, and it always falls on the kind of the cliche of use the power of your friends to defeat the enemy.
So but, shonen.
But it also hits the emotions really well, so.
Tangent. I've never cared about the whole power of friendship thing, because everyone was like, oh, fairy tale always falls back on the power of friendship, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's just it is the ultimate power in a lot of ways on it. But I think an RPG coming in, this is the second fairy tale RPG to hit the States.
It's weird that fairy tale like One Piece seems to not fall into fighting games that often.
No, it really doesn't. Like it has been one that has actually found its way into the RPG realm, which I think a lot of shonen animes do excel in. We just don't get them very often.
No, because people go to shonen for the big punchy fights.
Then we got when I started to really tune in, when I was fully wiping the sleep out of my eyes and awake and going and being like, what do you mean Fantasion is getting removed from Apple prisons?
Yeah, that I had basic. I thought it looked cool, but I was like, okay, I have no connection to it, so.
Hironobu Sakaguchi, the godfather of Final Fantasy, and Nobuo Uematsu, the amazing composer, did a game that, for whatever reason, Square was like, Apple. That's where this game belongs. And it is finally getting ported over. And again, like I mentioned with the Xbox show, a lot of these are getting PlayStation ports. I think there's even a few Xboxes as well out there around there.
Yeah.
But again, like what the Xbox got to do, being to be able to one to announce it, to say, hey, this is coming.
Yeah.
It's coming to Nintendo.
Yeah. Again, I had basically no reaction to this, except I saw Hironobu Sakaguchi and Nobuo Uematsu. I'm like, oh, so Sean busted him up.
Yep. So I'm really excited on that. Cool little update we got that they're finally updating Switch Sports. Like, they have been talking about that for a long, long time. And while it's not baseball like I wanted,
it's basketball.
It's basketball. And I'm really intrigued by how the controls are going to work. Like, it looked interesting. Like, I don't know if it's going to be good, but it absolutely looks like, hey, new sports and Switch Sports, please.
That's fair. Again, I have not touched Switch Sports at all. I never bought the game, so that announcement to me was like, neat.
We got an update to a couple of games. We got like an update to Disney Illusion Island, a game I haven't played but looks cute. We got the update that Hello Kitty Island Adventure is coming to the Switch.
Yep, which everybody made the South Park joke, so.
Yeah, so we got that. Only thing would have been funnier is if they had announced something Warcraft before it. That would have been
yeah. Or if they announced it also coming to PC.
Thomas, you got an unexpected announcement, and one that I don't think you want, but one that you're happy to see the Looney Tunes are back in a video game.
Yeah, that's basically exactly what it is. I saw Looney Tunes pop up, and I was so ecstatic, and then I realized, that's a sports game. Fuck me. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of a Looney Tunes sports game, it's not what I would want, because I'm kind of worried they're just going to be, oh, remember those dudes from Space Jam? But, like,
that was kind of the feeling and worry I got. I was like, this is trying to capitalize on Space Jam more than Looney Tunes, it feels like. But I do want to get my hands on it to play it, because
yeah. It
feels like it could be a very Sonic and Mario at the Olympic Games type of mini game. Not quite mini games, but there's enough sports in here. I doubt that they're very lengthy, any of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, I appreciate that it's not just basketball. They didn't just do Space Jam the game like they did Space Jam the game back in 1996, and they did Space Jam the game back in 2021. That one was a beat-em-up, anyway. I really appreciate that it's, like, actually, it seems to be doing something different. Like, it's not just basketball. You have golf. I saw them.
Soccer, golf. There were four games. I know there was soccer, golf, basketball, and one other, and I can't remember what the other one was.
I can't remember.
I enjoy wacky sports games. Do I expect this to be a must-have? No. Am I intrigued how it's going to play? Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with me. Like, am I expecting total shovelware? Not exactly, but I wouldn't be surprised either.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, it's Looney Tunes. I'm just happy they are getting a game.
Mm-hmm. And this is the type of, if it were back on, like, the Wii or even, like, a Game Boy game, I'd be like, yeah, shovelware. Yes, the Switch has some because it is the Nintendo system, you know, well, there, but there is something more to it, it feels like.
Well, it's also the fact that it got a spot at a Nintendo Direct. But shovelware doesn't do that.
No.
You don't see Call of Zombies 4 get a spot at Nintendo Direct. Like, this, they had to put money into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it just Warner Brothers paying for the spot to be like, haha, we'll sucker some bitches in? Maybe, but I'm curious.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt with it. It's definitely one that I'm intrigued to see when it comes out to at least try to play it. Then a game that I don't think I'm going to probably play. It's definitely one that maybe is a lot of it. But also, I said at the end of it, that game looks cool as hell. And that's Farmagia.
Yeah, Farmagia. I don't know. It looked cool.
It clearly is one of those trying to capitalize on all the popular things at once, but also the art style is awesome in it, and that was kind of just like, yo, this looks really cool. I'm probably not, it'll be a game that, you know, in 20 years, when we're on season 57, we're going to... Do you remember Farmagia? Nope. Well, we talked about it briefly. Now we're going to play it, but it feels like one that's going to kind of be overlooked, but... If it's good and a lot of people talk about it, it might be one I check out.
Maybe. Again, this stuff is not my cup of tea. I am not the biggest fan of Farming Sims. I'm not the biggest fan of the whatever the hell it was. It looked like a mix of Pikmin and Pokemon.
Yeah, so, creating your giant army of creatures and monsters, and it was an odd looking game, but also cool, and I'm intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey Kong's coming back.
Yep, Donkey Kong Country Returns HD. Neat.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Donkey Kong fans are kind of like, oh, okay, you just ported this game again. It is cool that it has the 3DS levels.
It's cool that it's on the same system as Tropical Freeze now, so you can get the Donkey Kong Country Returns duology, whatever it is. But I'm pretty sure most Donkey Kong Country fans are like, God damn it, we want a new game.
Even just a new Donkey Kong game. Like, yeah, Donkey Kong has just been so much remakes and bringing things back. So, like, it is... I don't think this is a bad thing. I like ports, remakes, and I like things being moved to the systems and more people can play games. But knowing that this is going to have the Nintendo $50 plus price tag on it,
yeah,
for a game that is... pretty easy still to get a hold of on both 3DS and was, yeah, it Wii or Wii U?
It's Wii.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that was one that was like, okay, that feels like one that maybe in 5-10 years is a lot cooler than it is now.
Right.
But I do think, and we may talk about this a little more at the end, I do think that some of these announcements were meant to be Switch 2 launch title announcements, and that could be a quick port that says, hey, coming when the Switch 2 is launched, you can play Donkey Kong on it.
Yeah, something like that.
So. And so some of these, I think there is some truth to the fact that the Switch 2 has been delayed, that some of these announcements maybe were more, would have a little more oomph if they were with the new system.
Right.
Then we got... one that we knew was existing, Dragon Quest III HD Remake, or HD 2D Remake.
A little bit of rant. That's a really stupid name.
Yeah.
I get what it's saying. I'm getting, it's HD sprites. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get what you're saying. Still just call it an HD Remake.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck if people be like, oh, it's false advertising. I really don't care. HD 2D is a stupid-ass name.
I would just call it Dragon Quest III Remake. Like, I don't know why, but... it looks gorgeous. I think I've said before on an episode when we've talked about reaction to Dragon Quest, the only Dragon Quest game I've ever played is Dragon Quest VIII because it had the demo of Final Fantasy XII attached to it, and that's why I purchased it day one. But it's always been a franchise that I've wanted to get into, but a lot of the older games are harder to get a hold of.
Yeah, which is why this remake is good, as well as they're remaking the entire Edric trilogy.
So they're also remaking 1 and 2 as well, and they're both going to come out next year. Like, that was what was like, it's not like a line, it's like, oh yeah, the whole thing's coming, and that is really, really cool. And considering that a lot of the talk around Square and Japanese RPG companies, we heard a lot of chatter that remakes were going to start being shelved. They weren't going to do as much because they weren't selling. I'm very happy that a lot of these are still coming out.
Yeah.
Then we got quite possibly the ugliest looking game, but also one that I do want to get my hands on, and that's Funko Fusion.
Oh, Christ.
It is... It's not pretty to look at.
No, it's not. It's because it's Funko's. No, I don't know, man. Like, I'll probably get it on sale.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling.
Like, $5 or whatever. Because, like, looking at the visuals and everything, I'm not the biggest Funko fan out there. I'm also not the biggest Funko hater out there. It's just something I see, and I'm like, oh, that exists. And it getting a whole game to it. I realize how hypocritical I sound when I'm a Lego fan, but Legos look more charming, sue me.
And there's the building mechanics of Lego. There's a lot of other things that go with Lego that Funko just doesn't have.
Now, with Funko, they're just vinyls. Mm-hmm. With Funko, they're just little dudes. And I like little dudes, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that, like, It reminded me of Lego Dimensions in some ways, where it looks like characters are required for certain puzzles. Like, it looks like you have to use Marty McFly's guitar for whatever puzzle at a certain point. Then, I don't know, it's
just... There's just something about, like, the cool thing about it, the thing that why I'm intrigued by it is, A, getting to explore environments with different and cool characters, having these mix and mash toy box feel.
Yes.
That being said, it is ugly, and it's a game that I think would have been awesome 20-ish years ago when video game rentals were a huge thing. It would have been a game that would have been rented a lot because, like, oh, let's play that. But I don't know if it's a game that a lot of people are going to run out and buy day one. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will be. Maybe it's an awesome game. It could be really fun. I do want to play it at some point, but it is definitely one that I'm like,
unless they come up with, like, some character I super want to play.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of characters, but none of them they showed, I was like, oh, that's why I want to play a video game. Oh, you get to play as Freddy Fazbear. Like, okay.
Mason, what do you think?
Okay. Classic Mason.
But yeah, you get to play as Freddy Fazbear. That's neat. Unironically, getting to play as He-Man, I'm like, okay, that's pretty sick. If only because when was the last good He-Man game we had? Ha! That's the joke.
Getting to then run around He-Man in, you know, Back to the Future world, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, there.
That, again, it's the Lego Dimensions charm that is in it, and I think that's why I'm intrigued by it, is it has that feeling, but also, it really ugly.
It's so
ugly. And it doesn't, I'm going to be really interested to see how a lot of the Lego mechanics translate to Funko.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't Traveler's Tales, this is from a subsidiary of
yes.
Traveler's Tales, like, they split off from them. The thing that got me the most was, you know, The T-Rex at the end that's from Jurassic Park, it just kind of phases through its packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, couldn't you do like a small soldiers thing where, like, it bashes its way out and the plastic peels or whatever? Something like that, instead of just phasing through like, I'm going ghost.
It feels, and look, this is no surprise because it's Funko, but it feels just like a cash grab. That's all it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Funko. It's Funko, so yes, but that is literally all it feels like. And I'm not saying that the Lego games aren't sometimes cash grabs, but it just...
Okay, here's my Lego shill side talking. The Lego games have this kind of charm to them. Like, they always have this kind of goofy sense of humor.
True.
And again, the minifigure version of characters, they usually look charming. I don't give two shits about Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, but the Lego minifigure version of her is cute. There's stuff like that. You know, there's always something that... The Funkos don't look cute to me. They look weird.
Yeah.
And especially in motion. And there's... Again, with Lego, you have that building mechanic. You have the idea of, yeah, Marty McFly has to build the DeLorean, but oh no, he messed up. Now the wheels are squares. He's in a pickle. Like something like that.
Which Funko. You're not going to get that in Funko, or if you do, it doesn't have the same sort of charm. So
yeah.
It's one that I'm going to give it a chance. I do want to play it because I do like that style, but also it's going to be a tough sell, I feel like, because it's already getting torn apart on the internet.
Yeah.
It's already, it looks ugly. As you said, there's simple, fun things. Like think of the Lego games when the T-Rex would come bursting through, you'd have Legos and bricks exploding as it would come through, and it'd be really cool. This is just him going through a package instead of, like, ripping out of it. Like, that's the sort of thing that...
Like, maybe if they played... sorry, we're spending a lot of time on this. If they played more into the toy aspect. Like, I know they're supposed to be collectible vinyl figures or whatever. But, like, if they played more into the toy aspect of... Maybe the T-Rex bursts its way through a pile of Lincoln logs or something. Like that.
Yeah, like there was more to it, but it just...
Like if they really boiled it into the toy box aspect, but...
Yeah, it is what it is.
Nice Battlestar Galactica rep, I guess.
Yeah, like, again, the draw is clearly you get to play as these characters. That's the draw, and I don't know if that's going to be enough to hold it for the whole game.
No, like... Is it funny to play as Freddy Fazbear and He-Man and team up to stop Ramona Flowers and the T-Rex from Jurassic Park? Sure, that's funny, but that's not enough to, like, hold the game.
100%. I just... Oh, well. On to the next game.
That one took a fucking while. Jesus.
Look, we have a lot to say. Luigi's Mansion 2 is coming.
Yeah, that's something we've known for a while.
Yeah, Metal Slug Attack Reloaded is coming, which is kind of like this more deck-building strategy Metal Slug.
Yeah, it's weird because they're also coming out with Metal Slug Tactics, which is like a Metal Slug XCOM clone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited for that, and when they showed up Tactical Metal Slug, I'm like, oh shit, they're talking about that. What the hell is this?
It's one of those like... deck building RPGs, which is fine. Like those aren't bad. I've played several of them in my life. So like it was just like, oh, okay. For Metal Slug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially because Metal Slug is like it's the guns akimbo, baby. It's all about the guns blazing. So
yeah. The Switch Online got a big update. A couple of cool GBA titles in Metroid Zero Mission and Link to the Past Four Swords.
Yeah, Link. Legend of Zelda Four Swords.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly might be one that's really fun because it has online play and normally mm-hmm. the original game, every motherfucker needed their own Game Boy Advance.
Or if you were lucky, you were the lucky few and all of you had a Game Boy Advance and all of you had Game Boy Link cables, you could link up to the GameCube and play it on the big screen.
It's a good thing it's being brought to Nintendo
exactly.
Switch Online.
That's a game that kind of, I think, that might find a whole new big audience again because of it, because it is a really fun game multiplayer.
Yeah, but the big thing is that the N64 launched its mature catalog.
Which is something we've talked about, is would the mature games get put on there? Because that is a huge aspect of the 64, that they had a very good M-rated lineups. And they kind of actually started embracing more of those. You know, we talk about the Perfect Darks, the Turoks, which are the two that were announced. But, you know, does that mean that Conker's Bad Fur Day is on the way? Conker's has to be on the way.
I was going to say, is Conker on the way? There are other M-rated N64
yeah.
I just can't think of at the moment.
It definitely was. Okay, Nintendo is fully acknowledging that they do have... The adults play their games and want to play their old classic adult games and want to play these 64 games and are willing to pay money, yearly money to play these games.
Yeah. The two that were announced for N64 Mature, Turok, which was
awesome,
was cool, but it's also a little weird because I'm 90% sure Turok's already on Switch and you can buy it. But either way, it's so cool.
Yeah, I don't remember which versions are on it, but yeah. But still, the original one on it, yeah.
I was going to say, still, it's cool. But the big one that I hate to be a spoiler for, but as soon as they brought up Nintendo 64 Mature, I was like, that's a Perfect Dark.
It's Perfect Dark.
And sure enough, Perfect Dark showed up.
It's just, well, all the signs were there because Rare had dumped tons of their games onto the U. They put a ton on all of the online stores. And B, Perfect Dark is getting a remake here in a little bit. Reboot, relaunch.
I don't know what the hell it is.
I don't know, but Xbox, thank you for doing something. Rare, thank you for doing something again.
I don't think Rare's making it.
No, I don't think so. But I'm going to give them credit.
They're still
because
in Sea of Thieves, hell.
That's true. But thank you, Xbox, for using these Rare license.
Now what are you going to do with them? Nothing? Aw.
But I've already booted up Perfect Dark today and played it for a little bit. It's, you know, again, it's in all of its glory.
I want to play Perfect Dark, but I tried playing GoldenEye on the Switch, and I don't know what the fuck were the controls for the Pro Controller.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where, when I have my actual 64 controller, the
aren't you fucking privileged?
I am. It was fun to sit down and play Perfect Dark again. This is one of those that I'm not sure how much I'll play, because the biggest thing about Perfect Dark was the multiplayer, you know, and again, it has the online stuff, so you can do that, but I'm not good at it. I don't want to go online and get my butt handed to me. I want to play with my friends, so I don't know how much, but it is really cool that Perfect Dark is there. Like, that is a awesome thing.
Yeah, no, it's cool to see. And again, I love me some Turok.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love Turok, so the fact that it's coming back is a-okay by me. But, again, it's just weird because I'm pretty sure you can already buy it, but...
Well, then the biggest surprise announcement of the day, nobody saw this coming. Nobody. I don't think anyone predicted that this was anywhere around. Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics.
God is real and he loves me as his child, baby. The minute that fucking logo came on,
but the Marvel logo comes on and it shows the Marvel fighting game. It's
as basically as soon as I don't think it moved directly from Perfect Dark to that or whatever.
No, there was a small game in between it.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit about it. I was kind of just looking away because I was watching this at work. None of us were watching this together. So I watched this at work, and I look down, and I see the outline of Ryu standing there. And at the bottom, it's, we're going to take you for a ride. Instantly, I'm just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? And sure enough, Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Arcade Collection with X-Men, Children of the Atom, Marvel Superheroes, X-Men vs. Street Fighter, Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom 1, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which is considered one of the best fighting games of all time, and for the first time, an arcade perfect home port of the Punisher beat-em-up.
Which has co-op play with multiple different characters. Like, this was legitimately like, this is amazing. Like, almost all of the big arcade, there's a few more that were in this line that could have been in there, but you're getting seven arcade games in one game.
Seven arcade games in one game. Basically every Capcom versus Marvel game. Again, just the instant I saw it, I was like, you're fucking me. You are fucking me right now. There's no way. And that was a reaction every other personality had when watching it. Because again, the minute Take You for a Ride shows up, everyone was just like, you what?
You're doing what? Like, and the thought was, oh, maybe they're porting one. They're doing that, and that? You're including that one too? Like, this, I know that we joke about Capcom, and hello, oh, Mason.
Come on in.
I didn't realize you started recording.
No, we're good. Fine. We've been privileged here. Mason has arrived. It is not just the two amigos. It is now the three amigos.
Hello. I guess so, I should have checked the chat. He would have told me.
Well, no, you're good. We're getting this classic podcast moment where a guest comes in late.
A guest.
Well, yeah, sorry.
One of the main parts of the fucking pod. But,
how far are you guys in?
We're at Marvel vs. Capcom.
So that's about halfway through, right?
We're a little beyond it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, real quick, when Marvel vs. Capcom dropped, you weren't watching it live, but what did you think when you saw, like, when you woke up, you saw the announcement, Marvel vs. Capcom, 7 arcade games coming to the Switch?
Well, when it said 7, I was a little confused because I was like, wait a minute, aren't there that many? And then I noticed, oh, they tacked on the Punisher, which I didn't realize that was a thing, a Punisher.
Because it was only arcade. This is the first ever time it's been ported to home console.
An arcade perfect port. There was an SNES port. It's a good thing we're getting this.
Yeah.
It has, again, I just said it, but since Mason's here, I'm going to rephrase it. X-Men, Children of the Atom, Marvel Super Heroes, Marvel vs. Capcom, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, X-Men vs. Street Fighter, and Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter. That's a weird one, but whatever.
Some of the
they
best...
They gotta have, like, one, like, why?
The best classic arcade fighters ever. Like, I remember several of those. I remember playing several of those in the arcade. Like,
and
the hype around this, and... I'm not, again, it wasn't going to be a big announcement because the way Nintendo does the directs, their first party titles are what get the big announcements.
Right.
But nobody saw this coming.
And again, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is considered one of the greatest fighting games of all time. It hasn't been available to buy since 2014.
Yeah. So, I didn't think about that.
So it finally coming back.
And, yeah. Capcom, thank you.
Thank you for doing something different. I don't know if I've ever played 2, because I think the only classic Marvel vs. Capcom game that I played is the one that's in the arcade out of town, which I think is just the first one.
I was going to say, I think that's just Marvel vs. Capcom.
Look, we are going to be playing a lot of this. There may be episodes in the future, because we're going to play so much of this in these games.
If you want Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in a nutshell, that's a lot.
I've played 1, 3, and regrettably Infinite.
Oh, I've played Infinite too. Anyway.
Speaking of a lot, the next game.
Yes, Super Mario Party Jamboree.
Which, look, I've mentioned before, this is the most, I feel like this was going to be a Switch 2 launch title.
Yes,
yeah. This
is what, the third Mario Party?
But it's, yeah, but I mean, yeah.
But this one's so big.
It's big. It has 6 maps. Just think of this, 6 maps. The last Switch exclusive title, not the Superstars, which is all the kind of like combined into it.
Super Mario Party.
Super Mario Party had 3 maps.
That's right.
And like, again, it's a good game. I played quite a bit of it. But like, this huge game with 6 maps, and 2 old maps coming back, one from Mario Party, one from Mario Party 2, the Western one is coming back.
Please don't dress up like a little cat.
Oh, that would be awesome again. But the big thing of this was, what do you mean 20-person online multiplayer?
How is that going to...
I have absolutely no idea. I'm sure Nintendo will make it work, but it's just like, I think you're on crack.
How is that it reminds...
How do you do the minigames?
It reminds me of, like, remember back when the Wii was coming out, and they announced New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and it was 4-player multiplayer on the same screen, and you were like, and everyone was like, how is that going to work? Feels the same. Feels kind of the same.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was still coming down from the MVC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this was just... I think this is less of like a huge one, because let's be honest. Mario parties have been fun, and they aren't bad. They've been good. You know, there really isn't a bad Mario Party, but... They are, every 3-4 years you get a new one, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it was like, oh, cool, a new Mario Party, that's cool. What do you mean 20-person online multiplayer?
Yeah, they're kind of Nintendo's version of like a yearly sports game release in a way, but this kind one of, is, yeah. This one threw in a little spice
but
in the form of 20-player online multiplayer.
The you know, I think the GameCube maybe got 3 or 4 Mario Parties, because it got 4, 5.
You got 4, 5, 6.
6, 7.
It's, I think 7. I thought 7. Yeah, was it?
I think 7.
I think 8 was the first one on
and
the Wii.
8 was the first one on the Wii.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. So, like, it's not unheard of for this many, and at that they were churning them out yearly at that point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They've been giving them more time to breathe at this point, but cool. A third Mario Party that is big. We will talk about Legend of Zelda now. As I think it's been said that, you know, our levels of Legend of Zelda love are
one of us
cool.
I was going to say, one of us is like, yeah, that's cool. The other two of us are like, what's a Zelda?
Right, because I think I may have mentioned this before, but I don't remember. Am I the only one here who's completed a Zelda game?
No, he's beaten Ocarina and Majora.
Yeah, I've beaten the 64 games.
Oh, you've beaten the 64 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also played almost all the way to the end of the one of the other games. I don't remember. I think Four Swords. There we go. It's like Game Boy Advance. They were the new one that came back out.
I was going to say the one that came on the Switch so earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I've completed Link Between Worlds.
Is what everyone thought this was. I've seen so many reactions to the amount of people thinking that's what this was going to be in this style.
I was going to say, I thought it was Link Between Worlds.
Or Link to the Past.
I thought it was a Link to the Past remake.
In the style of Link's Awakening.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. I thought it was a remake of the SNES game.
And instead, we got the first Legend of Zelda game where you actually play as Zelda since the ones on the Philips CD-i.
So the first one where you play as Zelda.
The first time you actually play in a Zelda game,
in a
weird platformer.
again, it's cool.
It is very cool.
It's going to sound really weird and really petty. But the instant I saw the main gameplay gimmick of you can copy and multiply things, I kind of went, oh. Not, again, I probably was going to play this anyway. I'm not a big Zelda fan. But I thought with you being Zelda, I was like, oh, you're going to be able to do some battle mage shit. Like rain fire from the skies, bolt fucking Palpatine motherfuckers. And it's like, no, you get to copy things.
Copy monsters. I think the thing that's going to make this game very popular is the freedom. And I think Nintendo figured that out with Tears of the Kingdom, that when you just give people the freedom to play, to do whatever they want, basically, and kind of play a game. And that is in a lot of ways this game as well, because you get to copy in how many different ways you can solve puzzles and do different things. And the internet's going to have a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably what we're going to see in a lot of Zelda titles going forward, because of the popularity of specifically Tears of the Kingdom, but also Breath of the Wild, that had some of those elements as well.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's really cool what they're doing here, like making a new game out of the Link's Awakening remake style.
Mm-hmm.
I do hope that they do kind of move away from it later. I'm not the biggest fan of the Link's Awakening remake.
Basically, you don't want every top-down Zelda game to be the Link's Awakening.
Yes.
That's fair. Yeah. I really like the Link's Awakening style, so I am a fan of it, but I do understand it's not, you know, I would like them to go back and give us more Wind Waker style, but you know.
Ha! Yeah.
It is definitely really cool. It's cool that Zelda and Peach both got a game in about a year at a time between
That's
each
true,
other, so like.
Yes.
Sega, the Amy game, win.
Win, Amy.
Oh, never? Yeah.
Mason's like, well, here in my 17.
It's back.
So we had some things that we knew. Lego Horizon Adventures.
Yep.
Nothing new there. We knew it was coming to the Switch, which was a big announcement at Summer Game Fest. That it was coming to there. Stray is getting ported over. That's cool. Cat game.
I honestly thought that game was already on the Switch.
It feels like a Switch game, so.
It kind of does.
Because I'll be honest, when it got ported over, I was like, oh, all right.
It's like, hey, remember this game from, was it last year, two years ago?
2 years ago.
Is it 2 years ago now?
How many people are excited for the Lord of the Rings life simulation game?
what a weird announcement.
I know, but weird. I like that we're in this world where they're, you know, look, Gollum aside, I know that was a train wreck of everything about it, but I do like living in a world where weird Lord of the Rings games get announced.
Basically, we're doing with Lord of the Rings what we did with Star Wars for like the early 2000s. We're just kind of throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks with it.
And you know what? A life sim game with Lord of the Rings and the Hobbits in the Shire who just want to live in the Shire, I kind of like it. Hopefully it's before the culling of the Shire, but anyway...
What I'm really hoping, I think what would be funny, is if it's taking place at the same time as Lord of the Rings, but you're playing as just a random hobbit. So when Frodo comes back, it's like, hey, how was the journey? I will never
You're getting to play as the Sackville Bagginses who have wanted out so often.
And you just rob the shit out of it. And it's like, when he comes back, oh, hey, how are you doing, Frodo? I'll never be the same again.
So, Ace Attorney's getting...
Ace Attorney Investigations.
Yes.
The Miles Edgeworth spinoff games, one of which was released in America. It's rare as fuck. And
the other was not.
Yeah, the other was exclusive to Japan until now.
Really? I didn't know that.
This was another big announcement for me because...
Capcom again!
I'm a casual Ace Attorney fan. I haven't beaten any of the games, but I've played them. Of them, Miles Edgeworth seems to be the character where I'm like, yeah, he seems cool. So it's kind of cool to be able to play as him and pulling his 80s cop show drama.
Yeah.
You know who's going to be the most excited about that? I was wondering if she was watching it is Jazz.
Yeah.
She loves the Ace Attorney franchise, and I think I'm right in saying that Miles Edgeworth is her favorite character.
Wouldn't surprise me. The internet was the moment the little out in the beginning came up and it was hit, I think it was his back to it, and everyone's like, what?
What?
Yeah, that was one. Again, this entire show after MVC was just me coming down from that high. So when it happened again, I was like, cool.
Is the Punisher in this one too?
Wait, he's? How'd they get that?
We ended, before we got to their big finale, we had the longest title, The 100-Year Line, The Last Defense Academy, the anime.
I was like, some anime-ass bullshit, but I watched it and I was like, huh, that seems neat. I can't wait till they make an anime about it, because the game itself, I'm like, okay.
And then we're getting the Romancing the Saga 2 on the Switch, as well as we knew it was coming on PlayStation, so.
I totally forgot about that.
So those were the two announcements, and then they're like, but don't worry, we have one more for you. And at this point, going on to the thing, I was like, if I had been coming into the day, my prediction for the indie was going to be Mario and Luigi. Like, a port of one of the Mario and Luigi games. Mm-hmm. They led off with that. Well, if it wasn't going to be that, they probably were going to have something Zelda-related. If not, are we getting Pikmin 5? Are they, you know, what Mario thing? Because there's no way, after 2,500 days...
Metroid Prime 4.
The moment the ship disappears, I go, oh!
Wait a minute.
I didn't know if it was 4. Because I was like, okay, is this a 2 remake? they just going to remake the entire saga before
4? We get 4.
But no, it is 4. That 17-year-long cliffhanger will finally be answered. Seems to be a running thing with the Metroid series.
Because this was first announced. Was this before or after the Switch had already released?
2017.
It was 2017. So, like, the year the Switch released. It has been, what, seven years?
By nearly 3 years. The distance between the first announcement and this has, by nearly 3 years, outlasted the Confederacy.
Yeah, so...
that really got me. That was funny. I was like, where's he going with this?
It's great when you haven't heard that joke before.
Yeah. I was hoping Mason had.
I hadn't.
So.
No. Yeah, who knew Metroid was stronger than the South? Anyway, so basically, yeah, again, similar to Zelda, I'm not the biggest Metroid fan, but I'm glad... Metroid fans are finally getting their scraps.
I almost play every Metroid game, and then after about an hour of playing, remember, oh, right, I'm bad at all Metroid games.
That's what happened to me when I tried Dread.
I say they're scraps, but they're putting a lot.
Yeah, Dread being the award-winning, nominated type of game, it was big for Metroid, and I think it was their Nintendo being like, okay, we do need to really maybe occasionally sprinkle some stuff to them.
Do some stuff with Metroid. Yeah.
Occasionally. Well, let's push the Star Fox to the side. And
we can only focus on one franchise at a time that isn't Mario, Zelda, or Pikmin. We can only use one other.
Yeah.
It's all the creative brain cells otherwise.
The conspiracy hat brain that I have is I'm pretty sure that this was supposed to initially be a Switch 2 Direct.
Yeah, because
I think the Switch 2 was delayed. It would make all the sense in the world. Think of Breath of the Wild, which was released on Switch
and Wii U
in the day. That I think Metroid Prime 4 is going to, because it gave a 2025. Didn't say the system on it. didn't say much.
I was kind of expecting it to be like coming on Switch, ... and its successor at the bottom.
I am fully expecting this to be a Switch 2 launch title if the Switch 2 is not delayed too much.
Yeah.
It may end up being a Switch 2 port at that point, but that is why I think they have waited over the last few directs to not mention anything about or show anything.
I mean,
Was because it's a Switch 2 game, and this time because the delay, they were like, well, we got to give them something.
Right.
And since it's probably going to be both, because Nintendo does that a lot. They've done it with Zelda Breath of the Wild. They did it with Twilight Princess. It's not uncommon for them to do that. So I'm not the biggest Metroid Prime fan, but in terms of just, like, I'm bad at the game. They're awesome games. Metroid Prime 1 was an awesome game that I'm incredibly bad at. But they are super fun games that I'm bad at. This was such a good Direct, and to end it with that was just perfect.
It's insane to me that, like, so the Switch is 7 years old now, and every time everyone is like, okay, Switch is getting a little long in the tooth now. It might be time to move on. Nintendo goes, clear!
Well, and I think more life this is actually what I want to end this on. And this is the actual conversation I want. Oh, go ahead.
Before that, since Mason came in late, was there any stuff before Marvel vs. Capcom that got your interest?
Well, I did. I probably missed I missed the beginning when you were talking about Mario and Luigi, which I'm still confused about because the original studio behind those died, right?
Yeah, but you know who was making it?
Who?
The studio that makes the Xenosaga games.
Oh, okay.
They recently acquired a bunch of the old people who worked on them.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So they're okay. That's what I was wondering about because I was like, wait, but then how did other than that,
we spent a long time talking about Funko.
Yeah,
spent an absurdly long time talking about Funko.
Yeah, that looks kind of okay.
Yeah.
That's one that I'm like, I want to see. It doesn't look like any of the footage we've seen of it has been finished.
It all looks ugly, is what we said. But also, I describe it is it looks like a game that 20 years ago people would have gone crazy over to rent over and over again, but not as enough people would have owned it.
that's kind of.
But yeah, other than that, I think, yeah, I guess. Kind of got here right in at a good point.
Well, yeah. So the way I wanted to end this was I think Nintendo has no company is without warts and faults. Nintendo never dropping the price on their games.
Mm-hmm.
just porting something over that's 5 years old and giving a $50 price tag. But that being said, now that we've seen the Sony, the Xbox, and the Nintendo shows at what would have been E3, Nintendo, even at this point, fully still completely understands it's all about the games.
Yes.
It's all about the games, the familiarity. And yes, there are new stuff that are coming, new things all the time that they're bringing onto their system and made there. But you know what you need? Brand recognition.
Yes.
You know what Sony seems to completely have decided to ignore, despite a ton of good stuff announced at Summer Game Fest coming to the PlayStation? And then at Xbox show and at this show, great stuff coming to the PlayStation. Weird they didn't get to a lot of it.
They're missing that brand.
There's no brand recognition that Xbox, you know why people are geeked out about the Xbox stuff? Because we got Gears, because we got Perfect Dark, because we got Dragon Age, like things like big recognizable brands. Nintendo, we got Mario and Luigi. We got Mario Party. We got the Marvel vs. Capcom announcement. I know it's going to PlayStation. And Metroid Prime. Big brands bringing big things. Even things like a Looney Tunes game is like, oh, that's interesting. And I think that is the thing that Nintendo's has really fully understood in these sort of announcements. It's all about the names. It's all about the games.
Yes.
And if exactly. you are not bringing games and names, no matter how cool your fill-in-the-blank game is at the State of Play, sorry, they weren't really fill-in-the-blank cool games, but they were fine games. Again, it was not... The show was garbage, but there were a lot of interesting games at it, but there was nothing that touched some of the lowest levels of this show.
Yes, absolutely. That nails it. Like,
and meanwhile, Xbox came out and gave us a fire-breathing show, and Nintendo was like, ha, cute.
That's adorable.
Hold my Mario and Luigi.
Now look at all these adorable things here.
It's really funny that you have two opposite ends where Sony's basically like, yeah, the PS5's basically done at this point, versus Nintendo, who's like, yeah, this 7-year-old console still got juice.
Sony already thinking about the next console, so early on? No, they've never done that. They never I love PlayStation. I will go to bat for them probably more than I should, but
I liked it when they had IPs.
That's the thing. It's like, and again, they have a great lineup of games coming. They have some really, like, there's so many things that I'm interested in. They have a lot of these cool announcements at both Xbox and Nintendo that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get to play those games because those are PlayStation games as well.
Being blunt, the PlayStation has my most anticipated game of the year with Astrobot.
Yeah.
That is my most anticipated game of the year. That don't save that fucking State of Play.
No.
Yeah, no.
And that's where it is that, like, I'm not saying that a Sly Cooper type of thing would have made the State of Play better. But you know what would be talked about right now? Oh my gosh, they brought Sly Cooper back.
Yeah.
Or, oh my gosh, they're doing Uncharted 5 or whatever. Oh my gosh, they're doing... Insert the,
Even if they had brought back Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank, a Tomb Raider game, you know.
Because I watched that Astrobot trailer, or I've seen clips of it at least, and that it is a good reveal, but it would have been a better reveal if it was supplemented with stuff like this. Mm-hmm. It would have elevated it.
And there is something very important in this console cycle that we are seeing as Sony is progressively losing Japan.
Yes.
And that is something they haven't had in years. The PlayStation 5 is not selling well in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how many of the random games on that were announced at the Direct and also at the Xbox show that are just random Japanese studio games. Mm-hmm. When you get rid of your Japanese studios, when you ship them off elsewhere, when you go rid of, you do hurt a lot of the marketability that we know in video games.
Exactly, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I know we're here to celebrate a lot of it, and I just wanted to end on it. Like, I still... I joke and I say it. I do love Sony. I love the PlayStation. Whenever the PlayStation 6 is announced, I probably will buy it because that's who I am.
Uh-huh.
But it is... With the continual, and again, having a bad State of Play does not mean you have a bad system. But when consistently, it's like, how did, you know, one, there are four or five games of the Xbox show and two or three here, or even just like one game, like how do you not have one of those games being your announcement?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you not get that? Because you just don't care.
All their
eggs are in the wrong goddamn basket.
Yep.
And the thing about that is it like that issue that you're talking that we've been talking about of PlayStation not having the recognizable games wouldn't be as noticeable if the other two shows Xbox and Nintendo if they didn't bring their A game.
Yeah, and Xbox
Sony just hasn't brought their A
game. Xbox like the rumor was Gears 5? 6?
6?
But it ended up being a prequel. It ended up being a prequel.
Yeah, Gears, E-Day.
And again, but that is bringing back a big franchise. Like, bringing back that, you know, whichever studio is doing the Perfect Dark game. You know, I gave credit to Rare, but Thomas was like, I don't think it's Rare.
No, it's
like,
not, I know it's not Rare.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Dang it, I wanted to cry. God dang it. But,
really,
like, bringing back.
Rare's going to be making games anytime soon?
You're right. Sea of Thieves has a lot of work to do.
I was going
to
say.
But I just, one of these classic franchises coming back, two of these classic franchises coming back, and the whole perception changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it doesn't have to be, like, it doesn't have to be, like, Mario and Luigi is not a super complex, like, big, huge, graphical franchise.
No.
But it is fun as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. And again, probably went over 10 minutes too long on this, but it's just one of those things that I was thinking about. It's like,
yeah, that's fair.
The two other consoles understood what is popular right now, and Sony was just sitting there going, doo-dee-doo-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, Sony just had all their eggs in the wrong goddamn basket. They spent 5 minutes on that. I don't even remember what the hell its name was, that buck-ass 5v5 shooter. And that is a dying fucking genre, as it should be. That was... I know, people love those games. All more power to you. Fuck!
A game that literally then the internet was like, uh-huh. Okay.
Nope. Yep. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody cared about that game. If you say you cared about that game, you're fucking lying.
You're
nobody
a bot.
Cared about
you're
that
an NPC.
Game.
Yeah.
Again, the only thing worthwhile from that show was Astro, in my opinion. Dynasty Warriors Origins. I'll give mm-hmm. that a little bit. That looked pretty
cool. And again, Monster Hunter fans are going to be super excited. None of us
well,
here
yeah,
are Monster
well,
Hunter
yeah,
fans,
but Monster Hunter has been shown a ass load of
that's
times.
True. And it's
in terms of premieres, all that was at State of Play was Dynasty Warrior Origins for some people and Astrobot for a lot of other people. And again, Astrobot, my most anticipated game of the year. I am dead serious. That game looks amazing to
mm-hmm.
me. But it is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really isn't. And again, like they've had their issues. You know, they thought they were going to fix a lot of their Japanese issues by acquiring Square for or Trinity acquired a Square, and Square was like, we'll only make exclusives, and now they aren't going to be doing that anymore. In fact, they're like, we're looking at this Nintendo over here, and we're going to make a lot
wait,
of
really
a lot more. Yeah, they basically said like we're going to really be focusing on Switch and its future
wow.
games a lot more
that's,
because
that's
and again
the 90s back
because
I was gonna say, that's nuts.
Because Sony has lost Japan.
That'd be like Rare going back to the
and I don't want to say because they're doing fine. They are the PlayStation 5 is doing great in the console market. Like it is, it's not again. It all three consoles are doing very well right now. It's like business wise, but. So the comparison is not interesting, but I do remember when Sega lost Japan.
mm-hmm.
I do remember that very clearly. And so, like,
look what happened to them.
And that's the thing that's like it's not.
That's not gonna repeat.
Not gonna repeat. But that is like
well, yeah.
that is the cautionary tale of you do again. I'm
like,
not saying that we need
happens.
We don't need a state of play that's just 16,000 anime games. That's not what I'm saying. But like, there is something to like. Don't get rid of your
yeah,
Japanese
I know,
studios.
But I understand. You don't want them to pander, but you do want like
mm-hmm.
You still want them to like. Be there.
Yeah, and it just it's one of those where I just feel like this Nintendo Direct was so amazing. Like, it was this breath of fresh air. And again, the Xbox show was great. Like, fantastic. And we all enjoyed the Summer Game Fest when we came in with lower expectations.
Yes.
And it some of it is just the nostalgia that I hold. But I have literally this whole week just sat back and gone, I miss the early 2000s and E3.
Yeah.
And that just is kind of where I'm at in my mindset in video games.
That's fair.
But thank you all for listening. Let us know what your favorite moment from the Nintendo Direct or any of the other shows were. Let us know. Send us an email, bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. This was kind of an unexpected, quick episode, and then we did it for an hour. So, you know, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next time. Burn it.